Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Montana Mint Sports Podcast. This is Bear Tycoon filling in for Hot Take Nate, who usually leads this thing. He's on a warm vacation somewhere. So joining me today as co-host, we have Montana Parlay.
Howdy.
Montana, we have not too much Grizz or Cat news to talk about. So on the episode today, I thought maybe we could quickly discuss the FCS championship game that's happening this Saturday and go through also some of the Montana boys that we have playing in the NFL playoffs. Does that sound okay?
You mean you don't want to break down the 57 FBS bowls that mean so much?
There's nothing I want to talk about less than all of the FBS bowls. But hey, so why don't you tell the folks, those who have tuned out after Cat Grizz, like I know many, many people have, why don't you give a quick rundown of who's playing this weekend and kind of the path that they took to get there?
Sure. Well, hopefully some of our listeners tune into the playoffs because it's been exciting and, you know, just all jokes aside, the FCS actually means something each and every game. They've been in the playoffs, you know, technically this is the fifth round of the playoffs. Championship is this Saturday, NDSU versus JMU. And those two teams have pretty much been head and shoulders above everyone the whole year. Although, Weber should have beat James Madison, back in the quarterfinals. That was an amazing game. They came close. I think a couple calls would have went Weber's way. They knock them off, and who knows? And that would have looked really good for the Big Sky. But it's kind of a rematch, revenge game. NDSU got knocked off last year at home against JMU, took them out, and they are the favorites. NDSU is the favorites by 4 points, is what I'm finding. Total score prediction over under at 48. It should be a heck of a matchup.
Yeah, you do make a good point on Weber State. That was a super close game, and I know that there's been a couple articles written that maybe we can link to in the show notes talking about how the ranking system within the playoffs, the FCS playoffs, is kind of broken. I mean, obviously, this is a much better system than the FBS. Like a 24-team tournament is a superior way to determine this, and if you're arguing about ranking, that's kind of a good problem to have. But the idea that, you know, Weber State was facing up against JMU in the quarterfinals, I mean, you could make a strong case that Weber should have been ranked much higher than they were.
Yes, you could. Although they had to go on the road but the week before to Southern Utah, who was a pretty strong team all year as well. Southern Utah beat Weber at Weber. Those two teams kind of have a weird rivalry where the road team has been winning recently. And that's really the breakdown. Actually, if you follow me on Twitter, the biggest gripe I have with the playoffs is a few teams that made it over those that didn't. Specifically, Monmouth. I mean, what is that, the Big South, whatever conference? They decided they needed more than the automatic bid, and it was embarrassing. They just got absolutely destroyed. Well, you have teams like Eastern Washington who stay at home because they had such a hard schedule and not a great record. But then at the end of the day, you have the two best teams in the championship and some excitement along the way. So it's still a much superior system to the FBS.
Yeah, and I think part of the problem is that a lot of, you know, the decision makers here, unlike in the FBS, they're not really following the division nationally, right? Like, and we kind of fall into that at the Mint, where we follow the Big Sky closely, but when it comes to other conferences, you just don't have that knowledge. And I think that's true to coaches who are thinking more regionally in conference and reporters who, you know, frankly, are covering high school sports in some of these areas closer than they are FCS. And so the decision makers are just, you know, they're going to look at records, and it is kind of a crummy way to do it. But The one thing we can take, have a lot of pride in, is that our playoff system is pretty sweet. Who do you think, as a Montanan, who are you rooting for and why?
You know, I don't know if I'm rooting for anyone. I think NDSU will win. I think they're stronger, although you can't count out James Madison. They're definitely more battle-tested in these playoffs. That game against Weber was a close one. They were down 7 with 3 minutes left before scoring 10 unanswered, including a field goal with time expiring and edged them out. They just absolutely destroyed South Dakota State 51-16 in the semifinal, and South Dakota State had beat North Dakota State. So you just don't know what might happen, but I just because of the revenge factor, how strong NDSU looks like a pro style offense. Their defense is dominant. It's tough to pick against them. But as far as who am I rooting for, until I place some money on the game, I can't really answer that.
Well, that's my next question. Who are we all putting money on? Who do you recommend?
I'd recommend taking NDSU, pick the point. 4 points, you know, that's not that big of a deal. Watch, they'll win by 3 now. But I definitely take NDSU -4 to beat James Madison.
Well, the game's Saturday. I have not really been tuning into the playoffs, but I do plan to watch that. It comes on Saturday, the same time as the NFL playoffs get starting, which is kind of a fun time for Montana fans because there are a handful of former Grizz players that are going to be in the playoffs. Unfortunately, no Bobcats. No Bobcats this year. In the playoffs. So there are 6 players from the Grizz that'll be in this year's playoffs, or at least they're on teams that are in the playoffs. Let me run through the 6 of them, and then you tell me who people should be most excited for. I should say I'm a huge Broncos fan. You're a big Bears fan, correct?
Is there such a thing as a big Bears fan these days? But yes, I am.
So we have nothing. We have nothing to root for in these playoffs. I want kind of a Montana hook as to who I should root for. So let's go through these guys one at a time. The first two we can get through pretty quick. Jamal Jones, who's a wide receiver for Carolina, and Tyrone Holmes, who's a linebacker for Kansas City. They're both on the practice squad, so unlikely that they're going to get called up in time for the playoffs, have any meaningful minutes. Will Poles, tackle for the Jaguars. Awesome the Jaguars are in the playoffs, but Will has not got onto the field. I think he's been dealing with some injuries this year. Another injury guy, Caleb Kitter. He got signed. It was a weird thing. He got signed by the Patriots in the preseason. Then they cut him, and he was injured, but being no one picked him up, he then reverted back to the Patriots and was placed on their IR. So those 4, I don't think we really have to worry about rooting for. The next 2, I think, are interesting. We have Trumaine Johnson, who played for the Grizz. He's not a Montana guy, but he played for the Grizz. He's a cornerback for the Los Angeles Rams. He's currently the highest paid cornerback in the NFL because they keep putting the franchise tag on him. He's having a pretty good year. The other player, Colt Anderson, Butte guy, obviously big Grizz back in the day, safety for the Buffalo Bills. He's been injured, but was before this past weekend's game for Buffalo, he was called up off of the injured list, off of IR. So he's going to be active for the playoffs. So it's kind of, ideally for a Montanan, we'd have the Bills facing the Rams in the Super Bowl. I think that's the worst case scenario for the NFL. But I don't know. I'm kind of feeling the Rams this year. What do you think out of all these guys?
I haven't watched a whole lot of NFL this year. And the little I have watched, I think it's kind of wide open, especially in the NFC with our FC FCS boy Carson Wentz going down.
Yep.
It's wide open in the NFC, and the Rams have a shot. And I'm quickly here trying to look at what the matchup odds for a, you know, Montana-related Super Bowl. All right. It's going to be towards the bottom.
Yeah. Well,
it's not the bottom. It's so a dollar would win $265. So $100, you know, $26,500 is what you could win. Right? Did I do that right?
I think so.
It's not the worst odds, but
what is the worst odds?
Of all the possible matchups, it's the sixth worst. The worst is the Bills are involved against the Carolina Panthers.
Hmm.
So those are the worst odds. Bills are pretty much in the mix on all of them.
I know the Bills, 538 gave them the worst odds of winning the Super Bowl at like 1%. Because they have to go from...
I'd say the Titans might be worse.
Yeah, well, Buffalo goes, they play Jacksonville, which is, that's a pretty winnable game. But then they have to go to New England, and I think that's kind of the buzzsaw everyone expects to cut them down. Okay, so I think I do like the Bills. Yeah, I'm changing my mind. I'm rooting for the Bills. I like the underdog story. I like Colt Anderson. And as long as he's playing, I know he's been called off of IR. As long as he's playing, I'll be rooting for them. If he's not playing,
root for the guy from Butte.
Yeah, if he's not playing though, then I'm going to default back to being a Rams fan just for these playoffs.
Well, you can root for both NFC, AFC.
Yeah,
like you said, match it up.
Perfect. Well, hey, we are going to take a quick break, and then we will be back with some watches and a couple other things. Okay, we're back. Wanted to explain one thing really quick. Montana Parlay and I are going to go over kind of some of the good food we had when we were back in our respective hometowns over the holidays. Hot Take Nate and I recorded a special, like two and a half hour podcast where we covered everything we normally don't cover. High school basketball, recruiting, girls basketball in the state, Grizz Bobcat basketball. We had all these things lined up. It was a great episode. It's going to be a multi-parter that we released over Christmas, and our producer Gary deleted the whole thing. So
most anticipated multi-parter released over Christmas since Making a Murderer.
Exactly. We had all sorts of
Gary
fun,
just blew it.
Fun segments and special guests and everything, and the whole thing got deleted. So thanks a lot, Gary.
Damn it, Gary.
But hey, you were in Billings, your hometown of Billings, the Magic City, over Christmas. I know that Montana's biggest city also has some of the best food. Tell us a little bit about when you're in Billings, what bars you have to go to, and what restaurants you have to get.
Absolutely. You know, Billings had a bad rap when I went to high school, and it continued with a lot of people my age, but it's come a long way.
It's a great city. It's a great city.
You know, the food has just been excellent. There's a lot of great restaurants. You know, let's start with the bars, the old haunts downtown. I always have to go to Hooligans when I'm in town.
Yep.
Just because it's the only thing. The restaurants have gotten better, but there's very few legitimate sports bars in Billings. They can call them that. They put up some TVs. Half of the time, they don't have the right games on. They don't know how to turn on the HD feed. They act like you ask them to solve a math problem when you ask them to change the channel. But Hooligans does it right.
Well, it's named after it's named after you and your brothers.
Well, yeah, that's true. But spent probably too much time there, but it was fun. Also, for a sports bar that maybe comes close to hooligans. You got the grandstand, and their wings are tremendous. And our buddy Scotty may or may not have gotten me a nice birthday present in the form of a ghost chili pepper wing that I ate, of course, because I've had between, you know, 1 and 37 beers already, and it did not go over too well, but
that's weird.
It was still a good time. The restaurant I suggest everyone try out is Walker's, and Walker's has been around for a long time, but they just remodeled. They've got a new head chef, and my buddy is the head sous chef, and he's actually interned at a 3-star Michelin restaurant, which, if you know anything about the food industry, that's big time.
There's only a handful of those in the country.
That's true. And it's like, it's a whole new level of food and presentation and just how they handle every step of the process. And I went there, a few of my friends went there, and nothing but good things to say about Walker's since they've remodeled.
I was in Great Falls for the holidays, my hometown, Scotty Mint's hometown, and hit up the classics, hit up Taco Treat in the form of the Amigo Lounge, which, if you're from Great Falls, is some of the best food you can ever have. And if you're not from Great Falls, it's one of the strangest meals you could ever have. I love it so much. And we also did a bunch of stuff downtown, which is similar to Billings. The downtown in Great Falls has kind of blown up. Z-Train, who writes for our sports team, and I have been planning a big either podcast or article where we go through like a huge food tour of Great Falls. You could really focus it on downtown because there's all sorts of new stuff that's popped up. There's a new Indian restaurant that's fantastic. And I was only there for a couple of days. I tried to go to a bunch of the newer places, including a new cocktail bar, which is in downtown Great Falls. It's a great location. But also, it was just like objectively cool. The drinks were good, pricey but good. The food, pricey but good. And you know, there's places like this in Billings, Bozeman, Missoula, where you can get a nice drink, and it's a little less crowded than other places. But there's nothing like that in Great Falls, and they really nailed it. The place is called N Bar. It's on like Central and Fifth Street or so. And other than that, I'm trying to think what else. We tried to get Howard's Pizza one night, and the wait was too long, so we had to get Domino's, which was a disappointment. But other than that, man, it was good. And then just kind of the regular spots downtown, Lobby Bar, Club Cigar, City Bar, and Sip and Dip. It was a ton of fun. Great Falls, Billings, I think, are two huge, underrated cities. And as you've seen a draft of, we are soon going to be – we did a big fantasy draft of cities in Montana. I won't give away any spoilers, but we drafted what a few of us decided were the 30 best cities in the state, and we're hoping to get that on the next week or two. Montana Parlay has seen a draft of it. Great Falls and Billings, I think, are well represented. Beyond that...
You mean they're fighting for number two after Haver?
Exactly. Well, Haver has it all, and everyone else is just fighting for a spot after that. You know, we don't have too much to go through this week, but I did want to revisit some of our standard segments. I usually do this with Hot Take Nate, but Montana Parlay, I'm going to bring you in. The first is our Brock Osweiler watch, the most anticipated watch in Montana podcasts right now, where we track the day-to-day developments with Kalispell's own Brock Osweiler. Since our last podcast, Brock, I forget if he was... So he started the season on the Browns, was cut by the Browns, picked up by the Broncos, was the Broncos' third-string quarterback, but through a series of injuries became their starting quarterback, had pretty middling numbers. He lost the starting job after, I think, 3 games, but he came back because there was another injury to quarterback Trevor Siemian, had a pretty bad game against the Washington Redskins where the Broncos got blown out, and then was the backup quarterback for their last game, a loss to Kansas City. On the year, though, a couple points. On the year, Brock Osweiler had almost 1,100 yards passing, 5 touchdowns in the air, at least 1 on the ground, and then he threw 5 interceptions. At his end-of-the-year press conference, he said that he wants to retire a Bronco, and he might get his wish, because I think that it's unlikely another team will pick him up. And I think the Broncos are going to cut him. So he may get his wish to retire a Bronco in just a few short months. What do you think about Big Brock?
Well, you know, you were, I remember his return fondly. You were right in that his first start back at the end of the year was at Washington and it didn't look good. But his first return was at Indianapolis. I was looking at the lines that day and was a little bored. I saw that the Colts were getting points at home on a Thursday night against the lowly Broncos. I put a few of my FCS, well-earned FCS earnings onto that game. Game's going great for a Colts bettor, and lo and behold, it's 10-0, and our man Brock Osweiler comes into the game after his Trevor Siemian injury.
That's right.
And rolls off the game of his life.
Yeah.
And I mean, great for the Montana boy, but come on, Brock. I had some dollars on this thing.
Oh, he took money right out of your pocket.
Yeah.
That's right. He had a great game against Indy, but he only played three and a half quarters.
148 QB rating.
I think that's about as high as you can get.
Yeah, so I guess Brock, his agent, whoever, his parents, they just need to send me some money, and yeah. I'll put it on against every team he's playing against, and he'll be in the Hall of Fame in no time.
Well, Brock's got about, I think, $40 million in the bank, so he's got some to spare. And a more – so if Brock's trending downwards – someone trending upwards, Josh Huestis of the Oklahoma City Thunder and of Stanford University and, most importantly, of C.M. Russell High School.
That's right.
Josh, he has been – I think this is his fourth year in the league, third or fourth year in the league. He's basically bounced around the development league. When he'd get called up to the Thunder, he'd get a handful of minutes a game. This is his third year. So the past two seasons, he really hasn't played that much. He got in a little bit in the playoffs last year. But this year, the Thunder declined to pick up the fourth year on his contract. And so it kind of seemed like a bad sign. But his playing time has increased where a couple nights ago against the Bucks, he had a career-high 28 minutes. He started against the Mavericks a few nights ago. And this is a team, mind you, that has Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, like a lot of big names. It's a crowded lineup. And Josh is getting some major minutes. The game against the Bucks, he was all over SportsCenter because there was a controversial play at the end that he was involved with. The Greek freak Giannis from Milwaukee Bucks drove and scored the game winning layup with like half a second left, but he clearly stepped out. Huestis was guarding him on that play, played great defense and pushed him down towards the baseline, which forced him to step out, but the refs didn't see it. He clearly stepped out. His whole foot was out of bounds, makes the shot, and it somehow isn't reviewable. I don't know the replay rules in the NBA. But, you know, there's a lot of stories after that game about how Huestis played great defense and he kind of got screwed on the outcome. And more and more, you're seeing there's a lot of articles being written about how he's the perfect role player and like how he's really earning his keep and how the Thunder made a huge mistake in not picking up that fourth year of the contract, which would have been on a pretty cheap deal for them, all things considered. So Josh Huestis' stock is rising. Who knows what's going to happen at the end of the year, but it's nice to see a Montana kid playing and sometimes starting for a team that right now is the fifth seed in the West. So, I mean, almost a guaranteed playoff team.
But I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay.
They didn't pick up this contract year. So, Houston Rockets, they've got a team. They're pretty good. Their GM, Daryl Morey, he's a stat nerd. He loves undervalued, especially defensive assets. He'd fit in perfect on that team.
Yeah.
Golden State's probably going to win it this year, but next year, the Houston Rockets with defensive sixth or seventh man, Josh Huestis is going to take the NBA. Oh my gosh. There, I just blew it. Josh Huestis wins the NBA championship.
I love it.
2019 NBA champions, Houston Rockets, with our boy from Great Falls.
Yeah, and look, the Andre Iguodala won the NBA Finals MVP coming off the bench for the Warriors. Maybe Josh Huestis, the sneakers, went into the MVP conversation.
Hey, I don't know if I'd go that far, but
anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
All right. Do we have anything else we need to cover?
Oh, we've got a new watch.
Oh.
We've got a new watch.
Okay.
It's the Crystal Watch. Now, this is a Beckler-specific watch. We got a gal from Montana, and she even made it past the first episode. So I think we need, for our, you know, over under 2.5 female fans of the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. We need to, I think we get to bring up the Crystal Watch.
Oh, that's
so
there's a Montana girl on this season's The Bachelor?
Yes.
Okay.
And she even survived the first episode.
That's incredible.
Yes. Well, before I get into what city she's from, I did a ton of research, way too much. I scoured the internet for odds on, you know, what, you know, if she'd be 50 to 1, you know, 20 to 1, whatever, so I could place a few dollars and just maybe match with her on Bumble someday in Montana and say, hey, I bet on you to win. I believed in you. A man can dream. But anyways, without saying what city she's in, so that for the third time now, here is a question, and let's see if you can guess
Okay. Which
city in Montana she's from. The question was, if you could be an animal, what animal would you be? And she said, I want to be a unicorn. Those who believe in magic will find it.
So the question is based on that, what city is she from?
Yeah. What city in Montana would you say something so ridiculous and out there?
Weibo? No. Clearly, Missoula. Is she from Missoula?
She's from Missoula. I was thinking more of the psychedelic drug. Maybe some good, whatever.
Oh,
who knows
Lord.
What she's smoking when she answered that. But
that's great, though. So there's a Missoula gal on The Bachelor this year. Her name's Crystal.
Crystal.
Hey, if
Thankfully,
anyone...
her name...
If anyone knows Crystal...
At least her name wasn't Lauren.
Oh, yeah. Why's
there
that?
There are four Laurens. I found that out doing my extensive research.
There's four?
Four Laurens.
Oh, my.
So Crystal stands out. Crystal from Montana.
Hey, well, if anyone knows Crystal... we'll try to find her on Twitter, try to bring her on the pod when she gets knocked off the show. Or maybe she won't get knocked off and we can bring her and The Bachelor on to talk about their future life in Montana.
I'm sure we'll be first in line for interviews.
Yeah.
And I volunteer. If she's knocked out in the last few rounds, I will fly to, you know, wherever it is that the last city where they're kicked out. I'll do a one-on-one interview. I volunteer myself.
Oh, we do not want to subject her to that. All right, Parlay. Yeah. Hey, thanks for thanks for filling in, dude. This is good talking to you. Want to give a shout out again to Lainey Lou and the Bird Dogs for providing us our intro and outro music. Those guys are the best. Give them a look up on Facebook or on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook or Twitter. Visit us at themontana-mint.com. Sign up for our sports newsletter, our politics newsletter that just got going again. Our main politics guy, John Hansen, did a huge piece on the Senate candidates that are run against John Tester, both as Republicans and Democrats going against him. And he was on, let me plug, he was just interviewed on a podcast that we are teaming up with throughout the 2018 campaign, the Montana Middle, which is hosted by former congressional candidate Dan West. Covers politics in a pretty interesting way. He had John on to talk about the Senate race, and we have a lot of cool things planned with that podcast going forward. But yeah, hey, it's not a lot cacarist to talk about, but we're going to come on as often as we can with interviews and any weird stuff that comes up, like Montanans being on The Bachelor. Montana Parlay, thank you so much.
And welcome. Follow us on Twitter if you miss us.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter. We're pretty active on there. And we'll talk to you guys later. Thanks, everybody. I was